We're going to go into another message on heaven, and it'll be a. I'm drawing to the close of this message. That's very good. What did I do with the sermon? Okay, I don't have the sermon with me, but that's okay. I got it up here. It's all in the brain. So we'll just go with that, what we can remember. This is probably better anyway, because maybe the Lord didn't want me to say something I wrote down. Well, as we think about heaven, one of the things that we think about, and one of the things that's very important even in this life, is the matter of relationships. We all have relationships. Everybody has them, you know. And they can be a great blessing. They can bring you great joy. They can bring, you know, ecstasy to the life. I mean, it's just a wonderful thing to have relationships. And they can also be pretty miserable sometimes. And sometimes they can be pretty awful. And you have to deal with people that are, you know, difficult and hard to get along with. And, you know, we always think it's the other guy's fault. But, you know, sometimes that's the case, isn't it? Relationships. Well, the wonderful thing about heaven, one of the wonderful things, is that in heaven we'll have great relationships. We will have wonderful and tremendous relationships. God made us to have relationships. In Genesis chapter 1, and verse, I think it's 18, we see God creating man. And let's see, it's not verse 18. You have to bear with me here because my memory is not all so good here. Let's see, we're creating man. And verse 26, he says, "Let us make man in our image." Right, so we were made in the image of God. Now we know that God exists as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That there's fellowship between these parts or portions of the Trinity. These individuals that make up the unity of the Trinity, and so they fellowship one with another. We are created in that image. God expects that we would be such as would have fellowship with Him. As you go over to Genesis chapter 2. You find God creating man there, and it gives another account of this creation of man. And in verse 18 of chapter 2, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good." Now, up to this point, everything that God has said has been, "And it was good." Now, He said this over and over. He doesn't say it about everything, but He said it over and over, that this was good, this was good, this was good. And now God has done nothing but good. It is all the work of God. Satan is not here. Sin is not here. Nothing is wrong. And yet God says, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him." And so God made us to have fellowship, not only because we are in His image, but because He says so. He made us to have fellowship with people other than Himself. Note, Adam had fellowship with God. Yet God said it was not good. There was something else. That God intends for us to have fellowship. Now, certainly in heaven we will have fellowship with God. And that'll be a great blessing. And I was thinking of Ephesians chapter 5 in regard to that. In Ephesians 5, Paul, here in speaking of families and family relationships, speaks there in beginning verse number 30. We'll just start right there. In Ephesians 5, verse 30, he says, "For we are members of His body and of His flesh and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church." So he's telling us that there is going to be a wonderful relationship that we are going to have with God, that Christ and the church are going to have a relationship. It is a relationship that is close and intimate and wonderful and glorious. It is like unto the relationship of a husband and a wife. And so he is telling us that there will be a relationship. So in heaven, we will have those kinds of wonderful and blessed relationships. Now, if I can remember, we'll also have relationships with others. I'm trying to think what passage that is. In Matthew, it's also repeated in Luke, neither of which I can remember right now. But Jesus gives us a command. I think it's chapter 22, but I could be wrong. Jesus gives us a command. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in this world, we sometimes have difficulties with that command. We have difficulties with that command because, first off, we're sinners. But we also have difficulties with that command because we face time constraints and we have necessities. We may feel the plight of someone that we see on TV, you know, as they show suffering around the world in various places. We may feel the plight of those people. And yet, what can we do? We don't really have much that we can do. We may not be able to give. We may not be able to go. We may not be able to help. We can't. We have other responsibilities for those that are around us that we love. We have to care for them. We have to spend our time with them. We can't, you know, I mean, there is a limitation. One of the blessings of heaven is that there won't be such limitations. In heaven, time won't be a problem. You'll have millions of years. You won't need to worry about it. You'll have plenty of time. You know, it won't be a matter of, well, you know, if we don't get to them today, well, then it'll be a disaster. No, it won't be a disaster if we don't get to them today. We'll have plenty of time to get to them in their needs. You know, and it won't be a problem to go and fellowship with them. Needs won't be a problem either because all of our needs will be met. He describes the millennium as a time there where the needs are so met that the guy who is reaping the crop is following right on the guy who's dropping the seeds in the ground. It's like he drops the seed in the ground, and then the guy picks, and then he drops, and the guy picks, and he drops, and he picks, and he drops, and he picks. And so you're going along plowing, and the guy behind you is dropping the seeds in the ground, and the guy behind you is picking the plants. I mean, that's a picture. I don't know that that's, you know, intended to be something that is absolutely literal, that it is so that quick. But it is intended to show us that there will not be any need. The Bible tells us every man shall sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree. And so there will be an abundance. Everybody will have. Nobody will lack. Everyone will have those things. Now that's in the millennium. We can expect that those characteristics will carry over. That there will be no need in heaven. And so we won't have the problems of not being able to fulfill that command to love our neighbor as ourselves. We will have relationships with people in heaven. And won't that be wonderful when we can sit down and get to know somebody and take all the time that you need? You don't need to be in a hurry. You don't need to be watching the clock. I got 20 minutes to talk to you. You know, you won't need to be in a big rush. You can, you know, you've always wondered about some character, you know, in the Bible. I mean, maybe you've wanted to talk to David, or you've wanted to talk to Ruth, or you've wanted to talk to Solomon, or, you know, you'll just be able to go up and sit down and discuss these things. You know, Solomon, what did you mean when you said, it's like apples of gold and pictures of silver? What were you talking about? You know, and be able to sit down with him and let him explain to you what that allusion meant, you know, because you're like, apples of gold and pictures. You know, what does it really mean? Well, you know, we sometimes wonder about verse. Sit down and talk to them about it. Maybe have Ruth explain some of the story a little more fully. You know, maybe you've wondered about some of the details of these things. You know, why was it that the, you know, I forget his name now, he stood, you know, and he defended the pea patch. Why was the pea patch so important to you? Why did he have to stand there? What was his name? Eliezer. Why did he have to stand there and defend the pea patch? I mean, what was so important about the pea patch? Isn't that a wonder, you know, curious? We'll be able to sit down with them. Have you ever wanted to, you know, just ask some of the great missionaries what it was like? Talk with Hudson Taylor. Maybe you just want to get to know your great-great-grandfather who you never met. We'll have those relationships. We'll have that time to sit down with them. And, you know, another wonderful thing is that there's no hurt in heaven. Revelation 22 tells us, nothing that hurts will enter. And so in heaven, there won't be those bad relationships. You won't have pain and suffering. I know sometimes people have relationships today that are full of pain and suffering. They deal with family members that are hurtful. They deal with people that are hurtful. We won't have that there. There won't be those sufferings. There won't be that pain. There won't be that misery in the relationships. There we will have relationships that are fulfilling and blessing. Relationships that are good. Relationships that encourage the hearts. We will be able to sit and just fellowship with these people. And what a blessing that will be to not only fellowship with God and to know Him. And as I think about fellowshipping with God, I'm reminded of that passage there where God came and He walked with God, with Adam in the cool of the day. Adam had a time where God would fellowship with him. Now we see pictures in Revelation where we will, you know, fellowship with God in the sense of services. We'll be in times of worship and times of praise and joining in the angelic choir and, you know, all these kinds of things. And we're just, you know, praising God and glorifying Him. And yet, you have to think that that passage back there where it tells us of how God walked with Adam and He talked with him is intended to encourage us that one day God will walk with us. Maybe God will come down and fellowship with us each and every day. Maybe we will talk with Him each day. And so we'll have that opportunity to fellowship with God. We'll have that opportunity to fellowship with friends and relatives. And yes, I do think we will remember who these people are. We won't forget them. Some say that, well, you know, in heaven we'll forget all of our, you know, all of our acquaintances, and we'll forget everybody, and we won't remember anybody, and we won't think about the old things in the past. And, you know, but that's kind of a burden. And I don't think that that's so. When you consider the story of the rich man and Lazarus, Abraham seemed to know what was going on in hell. He wasn't without understanding. He knew their plight. Now, we think of that today, and we look at hell, and we think, oh, that's horrible. That's awful. What a terrible place. I don't want to go there. I don't want anybody to go there. And if I knew people were there suffering, that would be an awful thing. Why is that? Some of that is because of our own lack of holiness, our own lack of righteousness. The just, righteous God sent them to the punishment that they justly and rightly deserved. He who is infinitely loving, who gave them every opportunity, who did everything He could to bring them unto salvation, who was not willing that they should perish, who was long-suffering, gave them the punishment. And we will be confirmed in righteousness. We've dealt with that before. We will be a righteous people. We will see things as God sees things. And we will not see that as something that is bad and horrid, but as what is just. That is what the martyrs cry out in Revelation. They say, Lord, how long will you not avenge our blood? It's not that they're bloodthirsty and evil and full of hate and they don't love one another. No, it is that they have been made a level of righteousness that is just hard for us to understand. We still have an old sinful nature which looks at righteousness on a sliding scale. And God's not like that. He is absolutely righteous. And one day we'll be like that. And so that won't be a thing that will bring us pain and suffering and all of those things. We will know that these people are there. And yes, they are there, but they are there because that's where they chose to be. They chose to reject the Father. They chose to turn away from God. They chose to live a life of sin. They rejected God. They've received their just reward. And so we will remember those that we've known here on the earth. We'll have times of fellowship. You know, it talks in Revelation about the new heaven and the new earth, and God, and He says, and John saw the new heaven and the new earth coming down from heaven, and it was set there upon this new earth. And he sees these things. Well, you know, What that's picturing is that we all get there at the same time. You know? I mean, even the people that believed, you know, that the Jews who died before the tribulation, you know, some of your hyper-dispensationalists, who believe that the Jews who died, you know, before Christ's birth, that they will have to wait until the time of the end, until the end of the millennium to come back, which I'm not one of them, but, you know, there are some out there that do. Even they will say, yes, everybody is resurrected, so we all get to go in at the same time. Now, you think, wonderful things to discover, won't it be? Think about all the things we'll be learning. We'll be learning about that new creation God made, that new city that God made, that new house that we got. We'll be having people over and telling them about all the new things in our place. Look at all the exciting things. And you watch these shows where people go in and they get a new house, you know. They, you know, make over and they come in and they're like, oh, look at all this. And, you know, and they're all excited and, you know, it's exciting, you know. It feels nice, it, you know, people got, you know, all this new stuff. And they're all excited and they're all thankful. We'll be like that. We'll walk in. Our Father's been preparing a house for us. Jesus has been working away. I wonder what he's made. What have we got in the house? We'll have people to tell all about those things, to discover what the new earth is like, what the wonderful city is like, all of creation is like. Yes, we will be continuing to learn and to grow and to know. We will not be just, you know, infused instantly with infinite knowledge. I mean, I think we will have a mind that works right. You know, we won't have the problems that some of us have now, you know, where you can't remember things and, you know, it's in there, you know, and you got learning disabilities and, you know, all these different problems. We won't have any of those things. You know, all those sinful things will be put away, but we will still have to learn. For there'll be all manner of things that we won't know. We won't know what's in everybody's house. Go see what the Lord put special in there for just you. You know, he said he'll give you the desires of your heart. He tells us we don't even know our heart. Who knows what we'll get when we see the desires that are in that life? Won't that be a wonderful thing to learn, to be able to share, to be able to talk, to be able to sit down with people? We will have wonderful relationships as we share things and talk to people and get to know people, and get to know the Lord. Some wonder about, well, what about, you know, family? What about husbands and wives? Well, again, there in Matthew, the Lord tells us that they that are in heaven, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Okay, so in heaven, they're like the angels. Where we neither marry nor are we given in marriage. And so people say, well, you know, will I forget my wife? Will I forget my husband? No, you won't forget them. You'll still remember them. You'll still know who they are. They were precious to you here. They'll be precious to you there. You know, in the case notwithstanding of the guy who had seven wives that the, you know, Sadducees make up, makes no difference. Love's one of those infinite things. It's one of the few things that you can give away and you still have plenty. You never run out of it. You don't use it all up. The fact that you love someone doesn't mean that you love someone else less. You know, sometimes children struggle with that concept. You have a little kid, you know, in the household, you know, a little two-year-old, and you get a new baby, and the little two-year-old thinks that, you know, you love me less, you know. No, there's plenty of love to go around. You know, you may not get as much time, but there's less love. There's not less love. There's plenty of love. You don't sacrifice that. So when we get to heaven, we'll still love our mate. We'll still know our mate. We'll still fellowship with them. But it will be a different kind of thing. There won't be that giving. There won't be any new marriages in heaven. There won't be any new things like that. We will live in a wonderful relationship with them, just as we live with a wonderful relationship with everyone else. We will have wonderful times of fellowship and joy together as we continue on. Some have wondered over the years, well, what about, you know, marital relations? What will happen with these kind of things? Well, the argument is that since marriage ceases and marital relations are part of marriage, that these things would as well cease. But the theologic statement is that what God takes, he gives something better. When he removes from us something, he gives to us something far better. He is a good God. He doesn't just make us suffer and sacrifice. He gives to us that which is best. And so it may be that one day the relational fellowship that we have with Christ, as we are literally, will be the bride of Christ, will be so sweet and so wonderful that it will eclipse and replace the other, that it will not be wanted or desired anymore. For that which is greater is put away. One man, you know, gave the illustration of eating candy. And, you know, the child was thinking that these relations were something of like the joy of eating chocolate. But because that was the most joyful thing they could understand. But when the other came, the adults understood that that's nothing. It's meaningless. Maybe heaven will be such a way that it will be a replacement as such a thing as that. I don't know exactly what the Lord will have in regard to that, but I know that whatever he takes from us, he gives to us that which is far, far better. He gives to us that which is more blessed. And that's the wonderful thing about heaven. We are going to have relationships that are fulfilling, that are satisfying, that are wonderful, relationships that are close and intimate, that are joyful, and that will be forever. There won't be any lack. There won't be any suffering. Today, people face relationships that are perverse and relationships that are difficult and relationships that are hard. And maybe somebody here today is in that kind of a condition. You're in a relationship and you've got problems with it. And there's difficulties and there's heartache with it. And there's hurt that goes along with those things. The wonderful promise is that there's coming a day when that will cease. There will be an end to those things. Maybe somebody doesn't yet have a relationship with Christ. You've never trusted him as your Savior. You can have that wonderful relationship with him now. A relationship that will only grow and deepen throughout all of eternity. You can accept him today. He's provided that way so that you can be saved. And for those of us who go through those difficult relationships, we can be reminded of the fact that there is an end. That there is a time when those things will be over. When those hard relationships and those pains and those sufferings will be done away. When righteousness shall reign. And we shall have relationships that are good and wonderful. And even now, God can take difficult relationships and he can make them far, far better. He can't make them perfect because you're in the relationship. And until you're made perfect, the relationships can't be perfect. But we can make them far, far better, can't we? And the Lord can take those broken relationships and restore them. And so maybe the Lord did speak to somebody about something. And maybe you do have some relationships that are difficult. And you have some relationships that are hard. And maybe you just needed a word of encouragement. Maybe you need to pray about it. Maybe you need to ask the Lord to help. Maybe you need to come to that place of being forgiving. I think one of the blessings of heaven is that we will have that forgiving spirit. We will forgive even as we are forgiven. And we'll get to heaven and we'll be able to forgive. Maybe we need to forgive. Maybe that's the way to heal. Sometimes people say, well, I can't. And I can understand. I can understand why you can't. Because I'm a sinner too. And I understand why you have trouble disobeying the command of God. But we'll never know relief until we do what he tells us. So maybe it is that there's somebody who needs to deal with a relationship. Maybe it needs to start with you. Maybe it needs to start in forgiveness. So that there can be a healing. So that there can be a restoration. So it can be made better. Maybe somebody's not saved and you need that relationship with Christ. So whatever the need might be in our hearts, as the Lord, as we have this song of invitation, I hope the Lord will speak to us and just encourage us about these things, about relationships, because in heaven, we're going to have wonderful relationships.